I am here to tell you this morning the devil is not your friend. The devil is not your friend. Now, let us meet together in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, you will find an outline of the lesson inside the bulletin, and we look at verse 8 and verse 9, and that's where the lesson will stay. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Verse 9. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kind of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. This morning, we have two main thoughts. First of all, we're going to take a look at two descriptions of the enemy. The second thought will be two comparisons in what our enemy is doing. And then in closing, we're going to take a look at an action that we need to take based on who and what our enemy is doing. We're together? Let's take a look, first of all, at two descriptions of the enemy. Look at verse 8. Peter says, be sober-minded, be watchful, for your adversary, the devil. Look at the verse. The first description we have of our enemy is that he is our adversary. The word adversary that Peter uses there in verse 8 is from the word antidikakos. The only reason I share that with you is to understand that the word antidikakos is actually two words that have been rammed together to come to the English word adversary. The first word there is the word anti, A-N-T-I. The word anti means against. Or in this verse, it means opposite. The word dikakos means right. It is a form of that word where we get the word used in the Bible over and over, righteous. It means right. So it's opposite of what's right. Do you understand? The first description that Peter gives us of the devil is that the devil is trying to get us to do the opposite of what is right. Do you understand me? Say yes if you do. The first description of the devil is the devil is the one who is trying to get you and I to do the opposite of what is right. Now that raises the question, how do we determine what is right? You say, well, preacher, it depends on who you ask. Well, okay then, let's ask God. Because whatever God tells us is right, we know that that's going to be right. Amen? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to determine what is right by taking the word right and by using it to get some guidance on what God says the word means. So the first letter in the word right is the letter R. R stands for revelation. Brethren, the Bible is God's revelation to you and I. When you and I are trying to determine what is right, we must always, always go to the Bible and go by what it says. Do you understand? Now listen to the verse. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, it is by the Bible that we are able to discern, Hebrews 5:14, through the Bible we are able to discern good from evil. What does that mean? That means it is by the Bible, through the Bible, that we determine what's right from what's wrong. It is through the Bible that we're able to determine what is good from what is evil. So when I'm trying to determine what is right from what is wrong, I must always ask, what is it that the Bible says about it? The question is not, what does somebody else say the Bible says about it? The question is, I'm determining right from wrong by what the Bible says about it. R. The second letter is the word I. And I stands for influence. Now, what I'm trying to determine is right or wrong may not be specifically addressed in the Scripture. Or it might be a matter to where it could be something that's okay or not okay, depending upon how my conscience or other things around it are flowing. So if the Bible does not specifically address what I'm trying to determine, then the question that we must ask ourselves is, now when I determine this, if I do this, what is this thing going to say about my influence. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14, Jesus said, "We are the light of the world." Brethren, when I shine, others are able to see God through me. So I must ask myself, if I make the decision to do this, whatever it is that going to help my influence in leading people closer to God, or is that going to have my influence project a view that will lead people further away from God? Are I, the third letter is G. G stands for glorifying God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all to the glory of God. Matthew 5 again, this time verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Listen, if you or I, if we are at a crossroads of a decision, we must ask ourselves, if I engage in this, is this going to bring glory to God? Now, what are we trying to do? We're trying to determine what is right. But I'm trying to determine what is right, understanding in my head the fact that the devil is described as the one who is trying to get me to do the opposite of what is right. R, I, G, the next letter is H. And that stands for heaven. If I make this decision, and if I engage in this, whatever it is this going to be something that will get me closer to heaven, or is this something that will take me further away from heaven? In Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind and stretching forth to the things that are before, I press toward the mark for the prize. Brethren, the prize there is heaven. Paul says, I am forgetting and I am stretching. I am forgetting and I am stretching. And Paul says, I'm doing both of those things in order to gain the prize of heaven. R-I-G-H, the last letter is T, and T stands for truth. Now listen to these verses carefully. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8 and 9, lie not to one another. Revelation 21 and verse 8, liars will have their part in the lake that burns with fire and with brimstone. You got that? Liars will have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. Now let me explain something to you. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1 says, "Let us lay aside all deceit." You put them together and here's what you have. I am not to tell a lie, I am not to imply a lie, and I am not to live a lie. Now go back to 1 Peter chapter 5. Now look at this, look at this. Peter says, your adversary, your antidikakos, the one who is trying to get you to do the opposite of what is right. Now let's put this together. The devil is trying to get me to do the opposite of what the revelation, the Word of God, wants me to do. The devil is trying to get me to do the opposite than to have an influence that will lead others toward God. The devil is trying to get me to do the opposite of glorifying God in my life. The devil is trying to do the opposite of me trying to get myself to heaven. The devil is trying to do the opposite of me telling the truth, living the truth, speaking the truth, and implying the truth. I said the devil is not your friend. He is your adversary. It is he who is trying to get you to do the opposite of what you ought to do. That's the description of him. Now notice the second description. And you got to follow this carefully. Look at verse 8. Peter says, your adversary, the devil. Now listen to me. Brethren, devil is not his personal name. Did you hear what I said? That's not his name. Brethren, Satan is not his personal name. That's not his name. The word Satan means enemy. The word devil that's used to describe him here, the word devil means slanderer. The first description of the devil is that he is the one, it's him in your life, in your face, trying to get you to do the opposite of what is right. And the second description of him is that he is a liar. He's a slanderer. He is lying to you. In John chapter 8 and verse 44, Jesus said the devil was a murderer from the beginning. Jesus said there is no truth in him. Jesus said he is a liar and he is the father of all lies. Now, what does that mean? Here's what that means. It means that the first lie that was ever told on this earth was told by the devil to Eve in the Garden of Eden when God had told Adam and Eve, do not eat from that tree in the midst of the garden. Don't eat of it. And the devil told Eve in Genesis 3 and in verse 4, God did not surely say that. Now I want everybody to follow me right here. Everybody to follow me. Focus, Fox. Here it is. When you and I allow ourselves to succumb to the temptation of the devil, then you and I are allowing ourselves to fall victim to his deceit. When you and I yield to the temptation of the devil, you and I are allowing ourselves to become victims of his deceit. And the one who is trying to get you to do the opposite of what is right is lying to you and me, and the one who is trying to get us to do the opposite of what is right is lying to you and me in order to deceive us, in order to get us to do the opposite of what God wants us to do. That's how it works. And the devil is not your friend in this. Now, one more thing before we leave this thought. Look carefully at verse 8 and look at what modifies the word adversary. Imagine me using a modifier. None of my English teachers would ever have imagined it. Look at verse 8. The word adversary is modified, the word in front of it, with the word your, Y-O-U-R. Do you see that? Say amen. Now listen. The adversary, the liar, he is your adversary. What that means is that the devil not only hates God, the devil hates you. He hates you because you're following God. And this thing, listen to me, this thing the devil has with you, this is a personal deal. Now look at the word your again. Y-O-U-R. The word your in that verse is in a plural form. I don't know what that means. Quit saying that because you do know what it means. Where my parents were from, that part of the South, where Odell Morgan is from in Mississippi, they don't say your. They say y'all. The devil is y'all's adversary. Isn't that right? That's it. You say it's not proper English. No, but everybody in the room understands what I'm talking about right now. Now, what does that mean? Yours is a plural form. What that means is that the devil is trying to get everybody in this room to do the opposite of what is right. That's what that means. So that's the two descriptions. He is your adversary. He's trying to get you to do the opposite of what is right. He is a slanderer. He is a liar. And he's lying to you to deceive you, to get you to do the opposite of what is right. Now, second thought. Let's go back to the text, and I want you to see two comparisons here that are made. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. First, notice that the devil is prowling around. Your translation may be, say, walking about. Prowling around. Now let me take you back to a passage of Scripture that I wished I knew a whole lot more about, but I don't know a whole lot more about it because God didn't tell me any more about it. In Job chapter 1, the sons of God are meeting with God and the devil is there. You say, well, how'd the devil get there? I don't know. You say, but I want to know more. I don't know. God doesn't tell me anymore. Well, say something. Look, you want me to stand here and make up something and tell you? I don't know. But God has a conversation with the devil in Job 1. And God asked the devil, he says, where have you come from? Now, are you listening to this? God did not ask the devil that question or any other question to get information from him. There is no question you can ask God that God doesn't already know the answer to before you ask him the question. God did not ask the devil that question to seek information from him. God asked the devil that question so that you and I would know what the devil is up to. So God says, smutty face. I don't know if God ever says smutty face. What are you doing? And the devil said, I'm going to and fro throughout the earth walking. Listen. Listen. The devil prowls around. The devil walks about. The devil goes to and fro throughout the earth walking. Now, what am I gleaning from all of this? What I'm gleaning from all of that is this. The devil is a lion. But he's not a lion like in a zoo that's caged up, where he's in there and I'm out here and he can't get to me. The devil is prowling around. He's walking to and fro. The devil can get to us. He can get to us. You say, what's he doing? Here's what he's doing. The devil is going to and fro, roaring like a lion. He is walking to and fro, roaring like a lion, and what he is doing is he is trying to get this world as his territory. That's what a male lion does. When a male lion is roaming about and roaring, what that male lion is doing is he is trying to secure territory for himself. This is mine. And the devil is going to and fro, prowling around, walking this earth, trying to take this earth as his territory. territory and you and I on it. John 14, John 12, and John 16. Three times. John chapter 12 and verse 31, John chapter 14 and verse 30, John chapter 16 and verse 11, three times in the Gospel of John, Jesus says that the devil is the ruler of this world. The devil is the prince of this world. Because he's walking around trying to claim this territory and people not understanding that he is deceiving them with lies, and this world now is about following him and not about following God. The devil is not your friend. So he roams around to claim this territory is his. But look now at the comparison. In verse 8, he is roaming around seeking for someone to what? Devour. Devour. Look at the word devour. The word devour literally comes from a word which means to swallow down. Swallow down. So the one who is trying to get you and I to do the opposite of what is right is roaming around this world trying to claim you and I as his own, and he is setting up circumstances in order to tempt us to lie and deceive us that he may get us so that he may gulp us down. I keep telling you, he's not your friend. So here are the descriptions. The description is he wants you to do the opposite of what God wants you to do. You need to live every day with that awareness. The description is he is a liar. When he talks, he's lying. The comparison is that he's going around this earth trying to claim this and you and I as his territory by lying, by deceiving us, by trying to get us to do the opposite. And when we go for it, he will gulp us down. So, what are we supposed to do here? Let's take a look at the action that we are supposed to take based on who he is and what he does. 1 Peter 5 and verse 9. Look at it carefully. Resist him, firm in your faith. The action, brethren, we are to take is that we are to resist him and we are to stand in our faith against him. Our faith comes from our understanding of the Word of God. Romans 10:17. So you and I, we take our stand in our faith in God and we resist him and we stand and we refuse to move. If you do not stand, you cannot withstand. Now here's a word of caution for our close. Here is a word of caution. Don't you ever, ever, ever have a discussion about right and wrong with the devil or any of his associates. That is what Eve did in the long ago. She had a discussion with the devil about what's right and wrong, and we all know how that ended up for all of us. Don't you ever have a discussion with the devil or anybody from his crew about what's right and wrong. Because he has claimed them, he has gulped them down, and they're simply going to parrot what he says, and he is a liar. If you got that, that could save your soul someday. Watch the end of verse 9 carefully. This is the part we mess up. Peter says, for all over the brotherhood, throughout the world, people are suffering this same suffering. You know what he's saying? He is saying, brethren, listen to me. He is saying, don't you ever think you're the only one who's in this battle. You're not the only one in this battle. Everybody in our brotherhood who is a faithful Christian is in this same battle against the devil. And that's why we have to continually pray for each other. That's why we have to continually encourage each other. Listen, when I come here, I don't need to get beat up. I'm getting beat up out there. When I come in here, I need somebody to put their arm around me and say, Fox, you may not be much, but we love you anyway. You're not the only one. And your situation isn't unique. Say, well, the devil's bothering me. Welcome to the human race. I figure if the devil is hitting me in the head, I must be going the right way. Now this morning, some of you who've been here many times, and you're sitting there right now looking at me grinning, and you're still not a Christian. And the reason, now I'm not unkind, but the reason you're not a Christian is because you're allowing the slanderer to deceive you in this. Well, I'm a good guy, and a good guy will get you nothing. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you've never been baptized into Christ for the remission of your sin, don't let the devil deceive you in this. You have to do that. This morning, if you're away from God, you have got sin in your life. You have disgraced yourself. Maybe you know it. Maybe your family knows it. Maybe nobody else knows it. And you think as long as them folks don't know it, it don't matter. But God knows it, and that's all that matters. So don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. The devil is talking, but he's not your friend.
This morning, if you're here and if you're not a Christian, if you're here and you're away from God, you need to come. May God help you to do that right now as together we stand and as we sing.